Before we begin, everyone do me a favor.
Thanks.
Read a little thing I wrote called the Federalist Papers.
Yeah.
I explain how a nation's unlikely to survive without a strong central government to keep it alive. When I launched the central bank, Jefferson called me ill. Now you have my face to thank on every $10 bill. When America was cash-strapped, I pushed past that. Now some sicko makes crypto, and our nation backtracks.
Decentralized currency, yes, I invented it. I'm sure many governments wish they had prevented it. The national cash is how they keep control. But freedom to the people was my ultimate goal. Am I a pseudonym, a group of men? It doesn't even matter.
Nope.
I invented Bitcoin because fiat is a disaster. A man from Japan or a damn hologram. I'm the reason open season on crypto began.
Does anybody
welcome. You're listening to the Tokens Radio Show. It's April Fool's Day, April the 1st.
It is. It's scary.
Yes. My name's Christy.
I'm Linda.
And we're broadcasting from the KCNR studios on the dial at 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. And we're streaming online at KCNR1460.com. Follow us on X at Tokens Radio Show for updates and commentary. We'd love to talk with you. Got a big hello to producer Ben, keeping us on track tonight.
Good evening.
Good evening, ladies.
Good evening. Well, we've got a packed one ahead. So it's going to be an interesting show. Tonight we're going to be talking two big shakes, a possible recession in 2025 from government cuts, and the Trump team's bold Bitcoin reserve plan. So stick around. We're going to break it all down. But first, let's get a market update and a word from our sponsor.
All right. So Bitcoin, as we were coming on, was at 85,109. You said it went all the way down to 79
today. 79, right.
Wow, it's moving and shaking a little bit. IBIT ETFs at $48.30. ETH at $1,898. XRP at $213. And MicroStrategy at $306.02. Our friends at the Queen of Dragons, home of fresh and local sponsors today's show. They offer carefully cultivated unique strands with elevated experience, exotic genetics, and robust flavors. The Queen of Dragons is known for fair pricing, stringent quality control, and knowledgeable staff. Shop their selections and schedule a delivery at www.thequeenofdragons.com or stay connected by following at Queen Dragons on X or calling 530-276-9771.
Yeah, they're great people up there.
Yeah,
and we appreciate them sponsoring our show.
We do.
Yeah.
You know, they have a lot of good things.
Yeah, definitely.
They do in the community.
Yeah, they do.
They really do.
It's all about medical freedom, baby. Well, you know, it's been an interesting week. You know, Bitcoin kicked off strong just a week ago, topping $87,000 last week, but it tumbled to $79,000 today. As Trump's new 25% tariffs on Canada and Mexico, starting now, they rattled the markets. Folks are nervous about trade fights. XRP was shining midweek, hitting $2.51 after beating the SEC in court, but it slipped to $2.14 today with a crypto slump. And then the United States economy is still tough. Its growth is at 2.4% and jobs are holding and recession talks are fading. But, you know, we're going to be talking a little bit more about that. Trump's crypto reserve plan had folks excited, but tariffs are stealing the show, and trade with our neighbors might get bumpy. So stick with us. Big changes are brewing. And tomorrow, what did they label that? Is it Liberty Day?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
Liberation Day.
Liberation Day.
Liberation Day.
Yeah.
All right. Let's kick things off with a curveball.
Ooh.
Peter St. Hong's got a new take from Ed Dowd. Could government spending cuts spark a recession next year? It's a wild one out there.
You know what? We talked about that, and there's some rumblings about a potential recession.
Yes.
I was talking to a friend today in real estate, and they said they're not even getting showings within the first day of a home going on the market.
Really? And there's not that many on the market, comparatively speaking, like it used to be. Last I knew.
Fire insurance issues.
That's true.
Uncertainty in the marketplace was definitely, you know, there might be some truth to what Peter's going to be talking about here. I don't know.
Well,
what are you hearing?
Yeah. Well, you know, there is so much moving parts, so many different things going on in this time. This is a time that I don't think any of us have ever experienced quite like what the wave is right now across the United States.
We've never handled it. Well, let's put it, this is the second fundamental transformation of the United States, but this one is franken in front of our face. The last one was a little bit covert, although we were told it was going to be a transformation, but we weren't feeling the effects of it for several years. This one is like 70 days in. We already have lower gas prices. We've got cheaper eggs. We've got, you know, a whole bunch of stuff going on. The markets are tumbling, and it's just a lot of turbulence.
It is.
Tesla dealerships going up a blaze.
That's a story for another day, that whole thing. I will say this.
A lot of chaos.
Yeah, with taxes and stuff, yeah, we are slammed this time of year, any way you look at it. But it is different. We don't have the people, as many people running in all at once.
Yeah.
Like we did before.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Yeah, we would really get bombarded at times.
Yeah.
Especially the 15th is just, you know, 14 days away.
Yeah.
And it could still come, but it's different.
Yeah.
Because we usually just, yeah.
You're usually slammed all the way up.
Yeah, I mean, we're slammed, but, yeah, we're usually got
it's manageable.
Yeah, exactly. It's manageable, so I will say that.
Well, shall we listen to what Peter has to say?
Sure.
It's always entertaining.
Yeah.
We love Peter.
Yeah, we do.
All right, here we go.
Will we get a recession from government spending cuts and mass deportation? My friend Ed Dowd is out with a new report predicting we could see a, quote, short but deep recession in 2025, driven by massive cuts to government spending. What's changed, according to Dowd, is just how much wasteful spending and corruption Doge has uncovered. He calls the fraud, quote, mind-shocking. Now, we always knew there was a lot of waste in government. I'd guessed north of $600 to $700 billion, or about 10 cents on the dollar. But I, too, was pretty mind-shocked just how much pure corruption there is. To the point, taxes are effectively bankrolling the entire left and its NGO industrial complex, potentially to the tune of hundreds of billions. To give a flavor, one NGO led by failed Democrat Senate candidate Stacey Abrams had $100 in the bank, zero full-time staff, yet it got a $2 billion climate grant. So this matters partly because it funds the AstroTurf left. It ain't democracy, it's money. But also because all those billions keep inflation going and prop up GDP, which bizarrely counts a billion in government handouts as if it was a billion cranked out by a factory. This all plays havoc with the economic numbers. So to illustrate, government-funded NGOs alone employ about 6 million people. If they were all fired, that alone would drive unemployment to 8% and knock consumer spending into recession. Meanwhile, Dowd estimates spending on illegals between $50,000 and $100,000 per illegal out of your pocket. Multiply that times 10 to 15 million illegals, and it comes to between $50 billion and $1.5 trillion reduction in government spending. Now, if that sounds high, last year New York City announced that it was spending $12 billion on illegal immigrants, including putting them up in luxury hotels. So if you put the NGOs and the illegals together, cutting off the free money could knock nearly 5% off GDP. That would make it a proper recession, actually a fairly deep one, with hundreds of thousands laid off from NGO activists to people providing free housing and free medical care to illegals on your dime. Of course, it would also be a massively wealth-generating recession, all those extra nurses and dentists meaning you can actually get an appointment. But media will run with GDP and paint it black. Finally, housing. So Dowd notes that illegal immigrants have been holding up rent prices, which is keeping housing expensive. Mass deportation would be great for blue-collar Americans who could get a break on rent or even buy a house, but the drop in housing demand could ripple through prices, potentially, according to Dowd, setting off a 2008-style housing crash. Now, 2008 was more about liar loans and lending money to deadbeats rather than housing demand. Still, the heady days of double-digit growth in house prices could be over for a while. Between cutting off 6 million NGO workers and 10 to 15 million illegals, we could be looking at the mother of paper recessions approaching demobilization after World War II. It will make us much richer as a nation and much safer, but we could indeed see a short, deep recession in 2025. Fortunately, we know what's on the other side of a government spending recession, a 1950s-style decade of prosperity.
Oh, wouldn't that be great?
Yeah.
I mean, we always heard about the 1950s. I mean, I hate to say this, but the Leave It to Beaver era, right?
Yeah. Father knows best there.
Exactly. Yeah. And the chaos of the 60s was the Vietnam War. I mean, there just seems to be a correlation there between war and the inflationary aspects of our economy.
Oh, it most definitely. Yeah. During the 50s, you know, the people that actually grew up at that time, that were kids, they all say it was some of the best years they ever had.
Well, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Well, a recession now, riches later. What do you say? Hey. That's one side of the coin now, isn't it? Now, let's flip to what else Trump's team is up to. It's a strategic Bitcoin reserve. We've talked about this before. The president laid it out at the Blockwork Summit at Summit America as the Bitcoin boss. Now, we're going to play this, just a portion of what we played last week, but it sets up for what's to come. So let's go ahead and play this now.
All right, let's take a listen.
Very big hello to everyone at the Blockworks Digital Assets Summit. It's an honor to speak with you about how the United States is going to dominate crypto and the next generation of financial technologies, and it's not going to be easy, but we're way ahead. Just 2 weeks ago, we hosted the first ever White House Digital Asset Summit, bringing together many of the world's top leaders in crypto for a conversation led by our White House AI and crypto czar, David Sacks, who's a fantastic and very brilliant guy. That same week, I signed an order creating the brand new strategic Bitcoin reserve and the U.S. digital asset stockpile, which will allow the federal government to maximize the value of its holdings instead of foolishly selling them for a fraction of their long-term value, which is exactly what Biden did. He got a fraction of their value. We're ending the last administration's regulatory war on crypto and Bitcoin, and that includes stopping the lawless Operation Choke Point 2.0. Operation Choke Point went beyond regulation, and I mean far beyond. It was a form of lawfare through government weaponization. Frankly, it was a disgrace. But as of January 20th, 2025, all of that is over. With the right legal framework, institutions large and small will be liberated to invest, innovate, and take part in one of the most exciting technological revolutions in modern history. It's so big, it's, I think, as big as you can get. Together we will make America the undisputed Bitcoin superpower and the crypto capital of the world. Thank you. Good luck. God bless America.
Well, there was a lot in that.
That's the emphasis and what we're going to be talking about in depth here
right.
A little bit later on.
Do you think, you know, being superpower of the world is a big dream? Huh. I don't know. He seems pretty confident in that.
Oh, yeah.
But
look what he's gotten done in 70 days.
Yeah. So how do you think he's going to put this all together? Well, Swan, Bitcoin's got the scoop on how they're pushing the reserve hard. And we have a clip.
Okay, here we go.
Did I?
Yep, that was me. I just read it.
Okay.
Pardon me, folks. My mistake. Here we go.
It's one of them kind of days.
April Fool's.
Yeah.
It was just an April Fool's.
Yeah.
Had you going, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
Gotcha.
Okay, here we go.
Over the last few weeks, the Trump admin has signed an executive order to create the world's first strategic Bitcoin reserve, in it outlining the intention to buy and hold as much Bitcoin as they can. Talk to your average person, though, and they're none the wiser. It seems like anyone outside the Bitcoin and crypto echo chambers is totally ignorant to what's happening. And even many on the inside still refuse to believe that the Trump admin will actually follow through. All signs point to them being very serious about this.
Well, I don't think they're messing around, do you?
I don't think so. You know, and this goes to, you know, this whole thing that we've gone over in the last few minutes. Do you think that's going to help buzz our budget, balance our budget, and get things rolling and changing, like you say, just a few weeks that he's been in? I don't think he's getting around with this stuff.
Oh, no. He doesn't have a lot of time. He's working like he's got, he's on limited time.
Yep.
He's Look, people are trying to get their final affairs in order. Aren't they kind of like, boom, 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 things are getting done, right? Well, that's what's happening here on a grand scale.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's no kidding around here, I don't think. So what's the plan? You know, Bo Hines, he's Trump's digital asset guy, explains why Bitcoin is their pick.
Let's take a listen to this.
If I can press the right buttons this time, right? Here we go.
Well, you know, we delivered on the president's promises that he made on the campaign trail. You know, the president was adamant about creating the SBR. We wanted to make sure that we did it right in a way that respected Bitcoin for being so unique, and also gave credence to innovation in other spaces of the digital asset world. So, you know, for us here, we look at Bitcoin. It's not a security. It's a commodity. It has intrinsic stored value. It's traditionally accepted. It has, as David likes to describe, the immaculate conception. There's no issuer. And, you know, that's why, as you saw in the executive order, we compared this to digital gold. It's something that's imperative for the United States to have, retain, continue to build on. And I think that's worth pointing out that, you know, the way that this is constructed, we talked about ways of acquiring more Bitcoin in budget-neutral ways that won't cost the taxpayer a dime. And what I like to say about this president, I think it's high time that our president started accumulating assets for the American people, which is what President Trump is doing, rather than taking it away. And I think that's one thing that we really wanted to make clear in this executive order. And we're looking forward to working with our partners at Treasury and the Secretary of Commerce in order to find those budget-neutral ways in which we can acquire more. You know, I've been asked all the time, it's like, how much do you want? I said, well, that's like asking a country, how much gold do you want, right? I mean, as much as we can get.
Yeah. It's kind of like the guy at the bank today that I was telling you in the example. Do you want, you know, 10% of a million or 0% of nothing, you know, of a million and have nothing, you know, some or none, you know?
Right.
That's what it's coming down to.
Right. It's, you know, I was at the bank a couple days ago. And I asked the banker, I said, pretty soon you're going to be handling Bitcoin. She goes, I didn't even know what it is. She's young.
Right.
You know, probably 20-something. And I was just shocked. And I go, well, it's coming. You know, it's definitely coming. It's going to be coming to this bank.
Right.
For sure.
And speaking of which, I just heard that I believe it was Members First has been bought out by somebody.
Oh, I didn't know that.
This just happened recently.
Hmm.
So things are moving around in the banking industry, which we know, like with Bitcoin and stuff, but you usually don't hear too much of credit unions being bought up by anybody.
Right. So they're being absorbed by another credit union,
I guess. Yeah.
Hmm.
A rogue, interesting. Rogue credit union.
Rogue?
Is that it? Thank
Members
you.
Members First Credit Union and Rogue Credit Union announced their intent to merge.
Huh.
Thank you for that.
So
yeah.
Is it just an intent right now? Do they have to go through some regulatory hurdles?
It's a move expected to complete it. It's a move expected to be completed in 2026 with board of directors, both credit unions unanimously approving the merger.
That's not that far off.
Yeah,
so it's coming.
Well, thank you for telling us that.
So, again, we're shrinking.
Yeah.
I mean, look at the banking system.
Right.
We're getting where we don't have that many different types of banks like what we've had for 50 years or whatever.
That's right. Maybe we didn't need them all.
Maybe. And with that, I think we're going to take a break. You're listening to Tokens Radio Show on 1460 AM and 96.5 FM. And we'll see you in a few minutes, guys.
Now is a great time to prepare for the upcoming wildfire season. REU and city staff are busy clearing vegetation to mitigate wildfire risk to our power lines, facilities, and the community. You can also prepare by trimming back shrubs and tree branches that are closer than 5 feet from your home. Clear debris from your roof and gutter and clear dead vegetation on your property. For information about tree trimming and proximity to power lines, call 530-224-4356. Please remember, we all need to work together to prevent wildfires in our community.
Save 20 to 30% off all plants at Turtle Bay's 33rd Annual Spring Plant Sale, featuring heirloom vegetables, hard-to-find perennials, shrubs, California natives, and more. The nursery specializes in drought-tolerant plants that thrive in Redding's climate. The members-only sale will take place on Friday, April 4th, 4 to 7 p.m., and the public sale will be held on Saturday, April 5th, 9 to 3 p.m. at 1100 Arboretum Drive. Learn more at turtlebaynursery.org.
Looking for work? O2 Employment Services has been working with local job seekers for the past 20 years. If you're tired of uploading your resume and getting no response, it's time to let O2 help you find that perfect position. Oh, and by the way, you pay absolutely nothing for our service. If you'd like our help, head on over to our website at o2es.com, click apply now, and complete our online application. We have connections with over 600 local businesses. Once we have your information and understand what you're looking for, we can introduce you to all the positions you may wish to consider. We currently have over 100 available positions, and we would love to match you with the one you're looking for. O2 Employment Services, the North State's leading staffing agency. Give us a call at 530-223-4674. That's 530-223-4674. Or visit us online at o2es.com.
Good day. Welcome to this week's Town Hall News Brief. I'm Phoebe Johnson, your host, to provide the latest local updates. On March 26, 2025, President Trump signed an executive order mandating proof of citizenship for voting in federal elections and requiring ballots be received by Election Day, threatening to withhold federal funding from non-compliant states. Critics argue it oversteps presidential authority, as the Constitution grants states primary control over elections. Legal challenges are anticipated, with experts citing potential unconstitutionality under Article 1, Section 4. The Supreme Court has already blocked the order, highlighting concerns for states reliant on mail-in voting. This move has sparked debate over federal versus state powers, with Oregon officials and others preparing to defend their voting systems against the mandate. This national debate over election control finds echoes in Shasta County, California, where on March 24th, Shasta County pushed forward a controversial ballot measure, mandating hand-counted ballots on election night and voter ID requirements, despite these rules clashing with state law. The Shasta County supervisors, in a unanimous vote, abandoned a related lawsuit against the state, instructing County Council Joseph Larmer to prepare the measure's title and summary for the ballot. Board Chair Kevin Cry argued the move aligns with constitutional principles, though legal experts highlight its illegality under California's election code. The decision has ignited tensions over local control versus state authority, with the measure's future hanging in the balance. As electoral disputes simmer, Shasta County faces an urgent leadership gap as it accelerates the search for a new county clerk and registrar of voters. Due to health concerns, the county is accelerating the search for a new county clerk and registrar of voters following Tom Toler's resignation, effective April 29, 2025. Toler, appointed in June 2024 to replace Kathy Darling Allen, who also left for health reasons, faced challenges, including a lawsuit over the November 2024 election. On March 27, the Board of Supervisors opted for a swift recruitment process rather than appointing Assistant Registrar Joanna Francesca, despite her 16 years of experience and strong public support. The decision aims to maintain election stability ahead of the 2026 gubernatorial primary, with applications set to be reviewed in the coming weeks. While election chaos unfolds, Shasta County scores a win elsewhere. On March 25th, the California Energy Commission recommended denying the Fountain Wind Project, citing environmental and local law conflicts. Facing lawsuits and community pushback over its 48 turbines, the decision, now in a 60-day comment period, marks a triumph for local control amid broader turmoil. Find more local stories on our social media, Shasta Lake Town Hall on Facebook, at Town Hall News on X, and mountaintopmedia.com. From all of us at Town Hall Brief, thanks for listening.
Well, welcome back. Before we took the break, we were digging into the Trump administration's big Bitcoin reserve push. Are they all in?
Oh, I think so.
Bo Hines saying as much as we can get.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so did Trump as well. a real grab, the bull by the horns move. I go back to the bank today. The guy goes, do you think it's going to go up in price? I said, oh, yeah.
Jeez, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And you look at this. I said, what happens when they start gobbling up everything they can get their hands on? What do you think it's going to do not only to the price, but what you can get a hold of?
You heard Trump's junior, okay, and Eric Trump, their technology company, is going into mining.
Yeah, so there you go. But there is a little bit of twist.
Right.
Are the markets biting on this shit or not? Let's hear why that's got folks scratching their heads, why they're not biting this shit. Let's take a listen.
Yeah.
So far, the markets have gotten wrecked not believing Trump at his word on the campaign trail and during his first few months in office. They didn't believe him on the tariffs. They didn't believe him on shutting down the Department of Education. They didn't believe him on freeing Ross. And they didn't believe him on the SBR. And they were wrong on every account. I'm really not sure what people are thinking here. If the Trump admin wasn't serious about adding to the strategic Bitcoin reserve, they probably wouldn't be openly talking about it at every opportunity. When politicians lie, which they obviously do often, they will usually promise something during the campaign and then shut up about it and hope that everyone forgets the promise. The Trump admin is doing the exact opposite right now. And still, no one is bullish enough.
Yeah, you know, there's skeptics everywhere, right? And Trump made a promise, and he promises kept, promises made, promises kept, right?
Pretty much across the board.
Yeah. So now everybody's been a skeptic, but not Stephen Lepka. He's with Swan Bitcoin, and he's got some insider buzz saying that this is real. And here's his take on it. It's about a minute and a half here, but let's hear what he has to say.
All right.
This is such a wild moment. I will tell you, beyond a shadow of a doubt, no one believes them at all. They do not believe them. They've come out and they've said it a million times. They don't believe them. Now, I think they're wrong to not believe them. I think they're absolutely going to do it. And I've had the pleasure to talk with people very close to this issue, and I can confirm that these proposals are real. They're being circulated. They're being discussed. Exactly what Boheim said. There are numerous proposals being talked about from the Treasury, from the Commerce. The executive order said, you shall do this. Lo and behold, they're not defying the executive order. They're doing it. This will happen, but it is staggering how no one believes it. The traditional markets don't believe it. It's too outside the Overton window for them. They just probably look at it and see a crazy Trump thing. So they're blindsided. They think it's nothing. But what's really incredible is most of the crypto traders don't believe it, and half the Bitcoiners don't believe it. Like, very few people believe that this is going to happen. It's one of the biggest disconnects I've ever seen when they're coming out and telling you exactly what they're going to do. Trump saying it, written into the executive order, every official in the administration close to this saying it, Lutnick affirming it, Treasury and Commerce discussing it. You think that somehow they actually have no intention to do this. They do. They're out there. They're talking about it. They're doing it. And once it happens, you will see the market reverse in a hurry because this is not priced in. The SBR, where they didn't sell the coins, was priced in. The market expected it to happen. This is not.
That's a good point. Because what we're seeing is the market is pulling back because they don't know. Markets don't like uncertainty, right?
Yeah, they're not sure exactly where this roller coaster is going.
Do you remember during the 2008 collapse and there was some funny maneuvering at the Fed? And the complaint was why we had a long protracted recession. Whereas they could have just, you know, taken the Band-Aid off of the problem and allow the economy, you know, to dip like it did. But it moved on for so long and so slow. And why was that? Because it was uncertainty in the market. And that was all over the headlines about uncertainty. And that's exactly what's happening now. They don't know what to expect.
Although
they're not listening to Trump because he's telling them what to expect, but they're not listening. So kudos to Lepka for that.
Yeah, they think he's crazy. They call him crazy Trump in a way, but yeah. But then they're going to be the first one knocking at the door when they realize what really is going on.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
So, I mean, not priced in? Yeah. Could a jolt be coming? I think maybe.
Shh, as my granddaughter does, right?
What about down the road? What's going to happen, you know? Let's take a listen to Corey Clipson's thoughts on keeping Bitcoin safe long term.
Oh, yeah, this
in
is
regards
really good.
To this.
Here we go.
You have to get Bitcoin so fully embedded in the next 4 years that even the most anti-Bitcoin administration and state apparatus can't do anything about it because there's just too much power on the other side by 2028. So I think that's what we need to be focused on.
What does it look like embedding so far into the government?
Fully into the government, fully into the TradFi system. You need every Wall Street bank and every company that you can possibly turn orange to be fully orange. The education efforts need to be redoubled. Everybody needs to just be thinking about how to just orange pill every layer of society and every corner that could be influential. And I do think we'll win. Like, I fully believe that.
The major exchanges did come out, and when push came to shove about the crypto asset soft file or the crypto reserve, Cameron Tyler Wilbos, Brian Armstrong, Jesse Powell, they came out and they said it should be a Bitcoin reserve and there should be something else for crypto. What do you think that was a natural kind of motivation? Do you think they meant that and they believe that? Because obviously they've funded a lot of the experimental projects in the crypto space as well. What did you make of that moment? Because it did feel like a bit of a rare moment of unity for Bitcoin.
Yeah, I thought it was a really nice example, basically a beta test of what will happen over the coming decades globally with all governments and all people. So basically the Nash equilibrium, the only thing that they can all agree on is Bitcoin. Cardano doesn't want to see Ripple and Ethereum in a reserve, and Ethereum doesn't want to see Ripple and Cardano in a reserve, and around they go, because they all think the other guys are scammers that printed their token and gave it to insiders. So they're okay with Bitcoin, but not each other. And that's very similar to what you'll see down the road, where the USA is not okay with the yuan and isn't going to adopt it, and China is not okay with the USD. But they're both going to be okay with Bitcoin, and that will be global settlement. So in that respect, I think it was nice to see it play out in the microcosm. And I think that's how it will play out layer after layer of global economies and society over time, is that Bitcoin is the Nash equilibrium. It's the one thing that everybody can agree on. Bitcoin is for enemies.
Bitcoin is for enemies. Oh, my goodness. How true. You know, and that is why the name that we can't say on the air, but think about a different word for Shiola.
Yeah.
Okay, and they call it Shiola coins, right? Or coins, right? But you know, you use other letters.
Yes, definitely.
Yes, and so, and that's why, because they're coins or tokens that have been minted, printed, and not purchased by the others. They're all scammers. And that's why they're called those.
Yeah. And that's why they're pointing the finger at one another.
Right.
I really liked it when he said, you got to become fully oranged people. Everybody needs to be orange.
That was 2 minutes worth of gold right there.
Yeah.
I think so. So Bitcoin's for enemies, you know. Corey got us thinking big, and we've heard the reserve story, but why don't we dig into that a little bit? And what does that all mean, and why Bitcoin? So why don't we try to go to the basics here? It's kind of like what you were talking about earlier, Linda. So picture the U.S. government building a digital vault. It's not for oil or gold, but it's for Bitcoin. And the Trump crew is treating it like a treasure chest. And they're all in, right?
Right.
So they got 200,000 Bitcoins snagged from some crooks. And they're sitting in their stash. And old administration sold it cheap. And
they
now
practically
they're,
gave it
they
away.
They did. And now they're like, no way. It's ours and we're grabbing more. They signed an executive order telling the Treasury, stack some Bitcoin. No cash needed. Now how? Maybe spare funds or old assets? I don't know. Details are cooking, but the vibe is pretty clear. Trump's guy, Bo Hines, he says, as much as we can get, baby, that's a shout, not
yeah.
a whisper, right? So why? Why?
It's almost like drill, baby, drill.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. So they see Bitcoin as digital gold. It can't be printed. It fights inflation, and it keeps America strong in a digital world. If they buy big, it's a neon sign, right? We believe that's a neo sign.
Yeah.
Right? And prices might jump, maybe a lot, They want us leading the crypto charge, not playing catch up when the money goes online. So this isn't oil in a tank. It's digital. It's locked with codes on a network that no one owns. And they're banking on it to carry us forward, planting America's flag in cyberspace. And so that's why Bitcoin. I mean, it's just, there's nothing else like it.
There isn't. There's no comparison. But that's the reserve. But why is Bitcoin the star? I mean, we've kind of hit about this many times. You know, it's about trust.
Ah, there you go. Yeah.
Let's look at this.
Okay.
So what makes Bitcoin secure?
I don't know.
With the government piling it into the strategic Bitcoin reserve, it's not just about value. It's about knowing how it's going to hold up. Picture our vault again. Not steel and locks, but unbreakable math and a network tougher than any fortress.
It keeps getting stronger and stronger, right? That's
right,
what Michael
yeah.
Saylor's been talking about.
Yeah, the Lightning Network and all of that.
Well, it just gets stronger the more we use it and the more people are engaged with it. It just gets stronger and stronger.
Yeah, so
yep.
Pretty safe there, right?
Yep, yep. You would think.
So, and we know Bitcoin runs on the blockchain, a global ledger of every deal.
Okay.
From the first coin to now. So,
isn't
that
true?
Since the very beginning of time, the first one went on and it's still
working.
That's
true. You can go back and see it now.
It's not in some dusty office. It hasn't been copied
several
million thousand times. It's not in a cave.
Okay.
It's run by regular folks. This was something somebody asked me one time. What do you mean? Who does that? Everybody
who owns
does it.
Yeah, right?
Who owns it? Nobody owns it. It's not a big shot that is doing it.
Right.
You know? So when you send your Bitcoin, these machines, the nodes, check it, agree that the transaction is legit, and they lock it in. Click, click.
Okay.
Okay?
Yep.
No one can fudge it. Everybody's... Excuse me. Everybody's still watching.
Oh, yeah.
This happened.
We can do a transaction now, and you can see that we did it, but it just won't have our names on it.
Right. It doesn't say Christy.
Right.
Across the top of it.
Correct.
All right. But there's even some extra stuff that goes here. So your key is the secret sauce.
All right.
You don't hold the coin. You hold a super secure password.
Ah, yes.
Remember?
That's
there's
why you can't
public
hold the
one,
coin, right?
Right.
Yep.
There's a public one, and there's a private one
okay. That
only you know. And I tell people, you don't tell anybody your private one.
Right.
If you lose that key, it could be gone forever. So you do need to make some provisions for that. I have told, like my youngest son, if anything happens, you need to go here and look at this.
You go here and then go there.
Yeah, exactly. That's all you have to do.
Right.
So, you know, otherwise somebody's got to be able to. But if you don't give it to them, you know, you can crack it. Somebody could.
Good
Maybe.
Luck with that. Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But remember, this is math, and math is wild. Supercomputers would need billions of years to guess this. It's like finding a grain of sand on every beach. All right. Miners seal it tight, solving the puzzles. This is where the miners come in, with the big rigs every 10 minutes, burning more power than some countries. To break the Bitcoin, you need to outmuscle half of them. Billions in cash and juice. In 15 years, no one's done it. That's why the reserve bets on it. It's a rock. So what more do you need? I mean, why not bet on it or use it? Because if you do it properly, like we've talked many times about Bitcoin hygiene, if you treat it like it's supposed to be treated, it's pretty safe.
Yeah. Well, Saylor talked about even the quantum computers. He's not worried about that at all because it will take so many computations. I mean, we're talking about billions of years with supercomputers. And if it's quantum computers, I mean, yeah.
He basically said that there was no way that it could ever happen.
It can't. Not at all.
Yeah.
So.
And you don't
Not in our lifetime.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Rock solid, huh? So how does all this stack up to Ethereum, the other big name?
Yeah,
not my favorite, but it
not
is something.
Not mine at all.
And, you know, and you also have Solana, you have Cardano, and these are all what's called smart contract cryptos. So let's pit Bitcoin against Ethereum, shall we?
Yes, let's do, because that comes up in conversation so much of the time.
And it's
people.
Part of this discussion. So the strategic Bitcoin reserves all in on Bitcoin, but why not Ethereum? It's the other big name in the crypto arena. It's Bitcoin, it's Ethereum, and then there's all these others, right?
Yeah, most people ask, yeah, but if you're in the world and you're talking about Bitcoin, that usually always comes up in the conversation if you're not a Bitcoiner.
But the difference is they have different uses, right?
True,
they're both big, but they play different games, if you will. And one's the pick here. So Bitcoin is like, you know, the OG. It was born in 2009 from a ghost named Satoshi. It's digital gold money. You can't mess with it, yada, yada. It's only 21 million ever, locked tight, built to hold value, secure as steel. Ethereum hit the market 2015. It was dreamed up by Vitalik Buterin. It's digital oil. It powers stuff. It's coin. Ether has no cap, which means it has, you know, infinity.
They can just keep making it.
But its trick is smart contracts. It's deals that are coded in, like selling art or loans, and no bank is needed. And security is the fork. Bitcoin's blockchain is lean. It just moves cash. It keeps it simple and tough. But Ethereum is busy. It runs those contracts. There's more gears spinning, more machinery. And it's faster. Deals snap up in seconds. Whereas Bitcoin, it takes about 10 minutes. But there's a catch. And in 2016, a sloppy Ethereum contract got raided and lost millions. Not the core, but it showed that complexity can stumble, and Bitcoin stays basic, steady, it's not flashy, it's not sexy. But value's clear too.
Well,
Bitcoin,
I don't know about the sexy.
Yeah, pretty cute, huh? So value's clear too, and Bitcoin's hovering, well, today, just this week, 87, 90. Got down to 79. It's the top dog. Well, Ether's big, but cheaper. And Bitcoin's a no-frills pick for a national stash. It's scarce. It's solid. Ethereum's the tech dreamer, but maybe too slick for the reserve. And we're going to get into more of what that is. And
let's talk about ETH and smart contracts.
Yeah,
what are they?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, what's ETH?
Tell me, Linda, what are they?
Yeah. I want to know now.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
What is the edge over Bitcoin? It's a glimpse into the future. So, okay, let's use this as an example. We like to do examples. All right, we got a vending machine. You drop a buck into it. You pick your snack, and it spits it out, right?
Right.
No cash fare.
Sure. Unless it gets stuck, and then you go beat the machine, right?
Do you remember those days you used to shake the vending machine? You know, my hands were always small enough that I could reach up inside of them. That's a story for another day. I didn't say that. But, you know, they're smart contracts or the deals coded on ETH blockchain running solo when the term clicks.
Okay.
Say you're buying a car online. Normally you pay and pray that the seller delivers, right?
That's like buying on eBay, right? And go, you hope they deliver.
Yeah, or Craigslist or something. With a smart contract, you code it. I send 10,000, you send the title, right?
Okay.
It locks the ETH ledger, spread across thousands of computers. You pay, the cash waits until the seller proves the title's yours.
Okay.
And maybe with a digital key.
All right.
The code checks, says good, and releases it. No banks, no lawyers, just code. Done in seconds.
Mm-hmm.
It's fast, cheap, and set in stone. The blockchain, your notary.
So. Ooh, yeah. Wow.
Now, is it getting a little clearer how this works? You know?
It's pretty cool.
Okay, but like always, there is a catch. They're only as sharp as a coder. We talked about this earlier with AI.
Yeah, we hope they're part of the Doge team, right?
Yeah. In 2016, the DAO, a big ETH gig, flopped.
Yeah.
A floppy contract let hackers snag millions.
Mm.
See, again, not good hygiene. Gotta do your hygiene. Gotta.
Right.
The blockchain held, but the lesson hit. Botch the code, you're toast. Excuse me. So Bitcoin skips this, just moves the money, no frills, perfect for the reserves, rock solid vibe. ETH betting on a world where deals, self-run, rentals, insurance, automatic stuff. You know, like you use kind of smart contracts now with banks and,
sure
and auto pay and all of that.
Sure.
Kind of the same thing.
Yes. Except it's not on the blockchain.
It's not on the blockchain.
And
you can't look.
Right. You don't ever get to look at the bank's transactions.
Yeah, and you don't get to really look at yours where it goes, you know,
right.
or anything. And
yeah.
and it can cause problems.
Think about wires. Why
yeah.
why does a wire take so long to go from its originating point to its destination? How many stops along the way? You know, with
how many fingers are in there?
Yeah, with a smart contract, it's quick. I mean, it's instantaneous. But it also goes to show why there have been competing blockchains such as Solana. I mean, Cardano is in this space as well, but they have a different focus with what they're doing. But very interesting here, and I'm glad that you brought up the problems that they had in 2016, and we didn't even talk about them going from proof of work to proof of stake. Oh my gosh, which is kind of like
that's a really big deal, and
yeah.
maybe someday we'll talk about that. But yeah.
yeah, so that's neat stuff. But how does Ethereum keep it safe? And you know, we'll see if we have enough time. We'll probably just end with this. But so, what keeps Ethereum safe?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
What makes it different?
Yeah.
Or how is it different to do that?
Exactly. So Bitcoin's the reserve vault, but Ethereum's got its own locks for smart contracts, and it's a buzzing digital world. So like Bitcoin, it's on a blockchain, a ledger shared across thousands of computers. There's no boss calling the shots. Since 2022, Ethereum's flipped, I just mentioned it, from
yep.
proof of stake. Or flip to proof of stake, I should say. No miners racing rigs like Bitcoin. Instead, validators stake their Ether. Ethereum's cash locking up billions as pledge to play nice. And oh my gosh, we did a show about this once
yeah.
where we talked about their validators. And basically what you had to do is put up some cash and or an equivalent of cash in Ether. And so if you cheat, it's gone as a validator. And right now, to become a validator, it takes over 32 million ETHs that you must stake. And it's equivalent to about $20 million dollars. Now,
crazy.
To bust it, you need half of that, a king's ransom, if you will, and risk losing it all. So 3 years in, the core's rock solid. It scams hit wallets, sure. But the blockchain has been untouched since this change to the validators. Now, smart contracts spice it up. They're tight if coded sharp, but a goof can buy it like that in the 2016 hack. Still, the network's quick, why they're looking at it, and deals lock in seconds, and coders keep bolting on tougher locks. Now, Bitcoin's leaner, harder for a reserve, but Ethereum is built to juggle its load. So, this is a necessity as part of this digital age to have a system like Ethereum to do these tasks. We need them. And you can think about I'm thinking of like real estate or like a car transaction.
Right.
Well, just a few years ago, we talked about somebody buying a car with Divi. All right. Do you remember that?
I do remember
when
that.
When Divi had some value to it
that.
And they demonstrated that they bought a car. Okay. And they did, I believe that they used Ethereum for the smart contract part of it, but they exchanged Divi. There was a swap
mm-hmm.
that had happened. And it was quick. there's no middleman, and the proof of the title was all in the blockchain. So it was pretty cool. And we're talking a few years ago now.
Right.
This is right around when they had gone to the validators. So this is necessary. Think about real estate. There are real estate firms out there now that have eliminated the need for the title company.
It could eliminate a lot of
sure.
jobs like that
yeah.
in a way. And be more secure. I mean,
no, you're not hearing about NFTs as much as non-fungible tokens, but where you would get your title to your property would end up in an NFT. Everything would be there, and all of it would be on the blockchain. Pretty cool, and this is where we're headed, folks.
Yeah.
So we hear people that, like the bank explanation, this young lady, I don't know anything about this. It's like, I know everybody has heard about this.
Okay. I find it hard to believe if you haven't heard about it.
Yes. This is not a Geico commercial and the caveman living under the rock. Okay. You have heard about it.
But
you can't ignore it. All right. We're at a point where you just cannot ignore it. You do need to take some time to try to understand it. Talk to your financial person about Bitcoin. The other things, the smart contracts are coming. They're already here. But for the everyday person like me and you, Linda, we're probably, don't need this right now. But down the road, we're going to be involved with it when we have a transaction, some sort of trade, if you will, of property, whether it's art, a car, something else of value.
Yeah, it might be the only way that you can actually transact with somebody when you stop and think about
Bingo.
It. How we're evolving with everything else, with AI and all the different stuff that's going on in our world today. Yeah. What would you do if you went to buy a car or the art piece or whatever? And they say, do you have this? And you go, I don't know anything about it. Sorry. And the next guy does. Well, they're going to sell it to the next guy or whatever. And you're out of luck. So you got to kind of change with the times.
There's a rental car prototype in Florida. There are no representatives there. It's all smart contract. You reserve your car. You put your deposit down. The smart contract receives the deposit, validates
it. Wow.
You provide proof of your driver's license and all of that, insurance, yada, yada. All of that is once it's verified, then you get a key. And you're told which car it is on the lot. And it's all done via smart contract, and it's quick.
I'm laughing and chuckling over here because I'm thinking, so is it going to be a Tesla that, once you get the key, it automatically going to drive over and pick your butt up and put you in the car and off you go, I'm just thinking, well.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool prototype.
Wow.
It's been some time since I've heard of it, but I'm going to look into it and see what they're doing.
But we kind of do that already when we went to not LA, but we went to.
Was it in Utah?
No, when we went down south.
Yeah. Santa Monica.
Thank you. Santa Monica. Remember? The Airbnb.
Right.
Was all kind of done like with a smart contract. They gave you, they checked it all out.
Right,
paid,
right.
Blah, blah. You went up to the door, click, click, you're in.
Right. It's true.
But basically the same thing.
No fuss, no muss.
Yeah, it was kind of cool in a way. It was really nice.
Yeah.
So, recession, risk, a Bitcoin reserve, and the crypto nuts and bolts. Peter St. Ong sees a bumpy 2025, but a bright future in Trump's betting on Bitcoin. What do you think? Catch you next time, maybe, on this. We'll talk some more. And remember, the financial world waits for no one.
No, it sure doesn't.
So.
Yep.
We hope this was interesting, and we will see you all next time.
Have a good week.
Now climb aboard, y'all. This train is bound for glory. And there's plenty of room for all. Well, Satoshi Nakamoto, that's the name I love to say. And we don't know much about him, but he came to
save the day. When he wrote about the way things are and the way things ought to be, he gave us all a protocol this world had never seen. Oh, Bitcoin, as you're going into the old blockchain, oh, Bitcoin, I know you're going to rain, gonna rain, till everybody knows.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.